Hello, hello, and welcome. It doesn't get old. That's right. We're here for the 2021 Steppy Awards. The regional champions are about to be passed out by an esteemed judging panel. Honestly, though, I'm just kind of basking in this. I feel greatly saddened, and you will soon learn why, that my co-hosts are not here tonight. I sit here in my tuxedo, naked from the waist down, lamenting at my loneliness. But alas, Steppies must go on, and just because my boy Weggy, never forget, and Ali are very busy in wedding season does not mean that this cannot continue. In fact, it must continue, because let's be real, it's already fucking April, and I promised too much this year. I am your host for the Regional Steppy Awards, Papa Sweden, and co-host of the Step Bros podcast. It's very, very lovely to be back. I know we haven't been good to you, but hey, I'm here now. Daddy's here. Papa's here. I'll look after you. All right. The rundown for tonight. It's Specky. It is Specky. We have a really epic lineup. So what I'm going to be hitting you with tonight is Victoria, clearly one of the biggest states of craft beer in Australia, and arguably, and we know anyone who says arguably is full of shit, they think they have the hot shit. Okay, so for Victoria, I'm going to have the one and only Dr. Faz, which in itself is a big get. But then I'm going to follow it up with Queensland. We're going to have Nick Bonner joining us, who one of the OG friends and homies of our show. He's been a Patreon supporter since day dot. Loves a DM to us. We're very fond of him. Someone else we're very fond of. Finishing out tonight's nominations and episodes is going to be WA. We got the man, the ambassador of WA himself, Rob Stew, of course. You know, you can't talk about WA and not talk about Rob Stew. So that's what we're going to do. It's big. It's big. So what we'll be breaking down tonight is each region. We'll have discussions on who was in contention for most improved hype brewery of the year, breakthrough brewery of the year, and brewery of the year. Now, all of these contenders will be then joining the national discussion. The national discussion has our group. So we have a very illustrious group on Facebook, I want to say. I don't know. Official Friends of Homies of the show. So friends of ours who have come on the show, good homies, and our Patreon crew, as well as our judging panel. So the 80, I think there's 80 of us now, which is a bit intense. We'll be discussing the nominations on a national scale and returning for the national episode will be the Pilly Panther, Little Weggy, Producer M will be there. You know, everyone will be there. There'll be raw thoughts. There'll be Panther saying things he shouldn't say and then feeling bad about it. Oh, it's almost like he's here now. And I'll probably retract a thing, I'll think, too. But there will be great outfits. There will be photos. We will drink some Big Lord beers and we'll give out those national awards. We'll probably get some of the brewers on actually. But tonight is all about regions. So, yes, we do have Victoria, followed by Queensland and WA. Now, tonight's episode, and this is like a pre-super formal announcement, but going forward and starting right now, tonight's episode is presented to you by the great Beyond Coburg. not going to say too much about that, but you know them from a Sip, Skip, or Cellar. Ryan Big Hands has been putting out the grog. He's had some say in some of these awards, which we like a lot. I'll give you the hot tip. He's got some favorites coming through in Victoria. But the Great Beyond Coburg is presenting Step Brewers Podcast from now on. Absolutely huge. But we will talk about that more on a regular program, which is going to be very much back soon. But do you know what? Without further ado, I actually think we should get into some of these categories. And who better to get into a category than someone we'd like to all get into? And that is the king of the dance floor, Dr. Andrew Fass. All right, well, to start tonight, we're going to kick off with the big state, the state that thinks it has it all, the state that, you know, has produced winners in the past, you know, had a most improved last year, always up there in the hype stakes, always up there in the breakthrough, always in the brewery of the year discussion. And someone else who's always in the discussion is the internet's favorite, the dancing king himself, the king of the drop. Dr. Faz is finally on the show. Hello, mate.
Hey, bro. How's it going?
Oh, it's so good. It's so good to have you on, even in a slightly reduced capacity.
Yeah, man. It's good to talk to you, man.
Now, for people listening at home, this may or may not work out because you're actually in holidays.
Yeah, I'm in Fiji at the moment, and we're on like an island. So the Wi-Fi isn't great, but we'll try our best.
No, this is how Steppy Awards roll. We just work our way through family holidays.
Yeah, man.
So hitting heaps of cocktails, maybe a couple of sneaky vonus.
Yeah, I had a couple of vonus, a few Fiji golds, a few Fiji bitters. I'm actually drinking a Little Creatures Pale now. I paid a lot for it, but, you know, I felt like I wanted a bit of pops in my life. So.
Very good, very good. All right, well, let's kick straight into it. Everyone knows the format by this time, so we're going to work through most improved, hype brewer, breakthrough brewery, and then brewery of the year, all for Victoria. So let's start off. How did the panel go with most improved? Who were you talking about?
Yeah, I guess most improved was an interesting one for pretty much all of the judges because you probably know that like Victorian craft beer is pretty good, you know. So we're finding breweries that have gone above and beyond to make their beer better is hard. Like, you know, last year for me, Bonehead was like an obvious one because, you know, they really stepped up their game. But this year we kind of struggled to find breweries that stepped up their game because there's so many good ones already. We had a couple, two judges picked the same one, but everyone else kind of chose different ones. So, yeah, it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I think that's right about the Victorian scene, particularly in such like a difficult year, but the quality is still so damn high.
Yeah, exactly. It's a testament to how good Victorian craft beer is, you know, that like, the beer's so good that, you know, that we just didn't see a lot of breweries make a huge improvement that was worth stating, I guess.
Definitely, definitely. All right, well, we did have Bonehead winning the national last year representing Vic. Who's got your runner-up tonight, Victorian most improved brewery of the year?
So we all agreed on Blackman's this year for the runner-up, but we just thought that, you know, they had been really pumping out some really good beers this year, especially like their IPAs, some really, you know, I really enjoy their single hop IPAs because you really get a good taste of what they're doing with that. And they just seem to really nail it. And like, I know a lot of people hate like the Sabro hop, but like, I thought that was a really good beer. And like, just a lot of the, they're just very consistent. And like a lot of the time that before I wouldn't have really thought of them as consistent, whereas now I'm kind of thinking they're getting there. So
yeah, definitely. I remember like back to Angry Reg Jay's like super old school West Coast, and it used to just bang so hard when that came out.
Yeah, yeah, and that's always been a good beer. Yeah, that's a fantastic beer, that one.
Yeah, and even like the Juicy Banger IPL, you know, they probably should rename Cold Pale or something these days.
Yeah, I guess it's just also just about the limited releases have just been really good too, so yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well, runner-up, Blackman's Brewery, Victoria, most improved, which leaves us with the winner for most improved brewery in Victoria, which is Andrew Faz. Take us away.
We have decided for most improved this year will be Two Groupies.
Now, I know these guys. I met them at Brewer's Feast. Somehow I managed to sneak a little COVID trip over in 2021 and went to a beer fest, which is crazy. Really great guys. Tell us about Two Groupies.
To be fair, I don't know a whole lot about them. I know they're based down in that Clayton area, so that's a bit out of my scope. But a lot of the judges that actually have been down there and they've been sampling their beers. I personally have tried like quite a few of their like pales and hazies, and I think I've had a few of their lagers as well. And like they're just gone from, you know, I had, to be fair, like in, would have been 2020, I had a few of their beers and I just was never wowed. But they've stepped up their marketing game as well, and it's just, yeah, it's just been a very good year for them. I think the last 12 months has been very good for them. They probably don't really have a lot of distro outside of Victoria, which is a shame, but I think with the way they're going, they'll keep hitting those heights, and you know, they'll keep improving more.
Yeah, definitely. I had a couple of their hazies when I was down there, and actually someone sent me a bunch of their beers, and they're really tasty.
Yeah, I don't have that privilege of getting beers sent to me, so.
Oh, mate, if only I could get $70 glasses sent to me as well.
I'm surprised you haven't, mate. With the amount that you can do for Carlton, I'm surprised I have. No, I'm joking.
Mate, we're just happy to go there and have a groggy time. You know too well about our groggy times at Carlton. All right, well, let's move into your favourite category, and I knew you'd want to announce this one. Who was in the discussions for Hype Brewery of the Year, Victoria?
I feel like everyone will probably know who we're going to choose because it's like, you know, Hype Brewery, there was a few. We actually had five that were nominated. So we had Dollar Bill, Hawkers, La Seren, Deeds and Banks all nominated for this.
Yeah, Lassa Ren in there. Cool.
Yeah. To be fair, I think we were all surprised by that. I think that might have been a Bags entry.
Oh, that's very nice. That's very nice.
I hyped them myself, but I don't think they. I don't know. It's, for me, hype is more about, you know, the marketing and like the game and how you do it and yeah.
And that's the thing.
If you line up for them, I don't think many people line up for Lassa Ren beers. I probably would though.
And that's the thing too. Like, we have to remember that the hype brewery category isn't like a derogatory thing. It's all about who harnesses the hype and delivers on it. So we're not going to have
any brewery. And I don't think it's a bad thing at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, who have we got for runner-up Hype Brewery of the Year?
So for runner-up, we had Dollar Bill.
The good homies at Dollar Bill hitting the Hype Brewery. I love that. They did have a really good year.
It's probably more of like a personalized thing. Maybe the judges, like, we're all pretty nerdy with our beer and stuff, but like some of the stuff that they release, you're just like, I need that. And that's one of the only breweries that I really, you know, want to go on their website and line up at 10 a.m. or whenever they release their beers, you know?
Yeah, well, I will admit to once they won the award for Gold Teeth, jumping online and buying every single bottle that was online.
I couldn't even get that. I tried that.
Well, if you want one, I might have one left. I did give most of them away. So.
I'm not going to steal your last one.
I'll bring one to Melbourne. All right, let's get into the big boy. Who was the Hype Brewery of the Year for Victoria?
This year, we would like to announce Banks as our winner for Hype Brewery.
Not really unexpected.
No, it's not at all. Or as we like to call them, Barnes.
Now, Christopher Banks actually gave me a little message and said, why do you keep referring to us as Barnes on the podcast? And for anyone who's not in Beauty Thread Underground, I had to explain that the K looks like a H.
Yeah, I think if you're not on BT Underground, you probably don't get it because we were talking about it in the judges table and there are a few people that weren't on BT Underground. They were like, what the fuck are you talking about, Faz?
Yeah, he did say that they really struggled with that K in the design for quite a while. So he likes that it's a cult figure now.
Yeah, but like, so I guess like Banks, it's like, you know, their marketing is second to none and the beers that they pump out are just excellent and it's not a bad thing. Like their quality is excellent as well, but you know, just everything was on point and they're still one of those breweries in Victoria that everyone raves about. And then as soon as there's a new DDH IPA or whatever, everyone wants to buy it. And it doesn't really even matter if it's a West Coast or whatever anymore, people still are going out and buying them. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I mean, they're pumping out quality product and it's improving a lot too year on year. Like,
no, I agree. It's improving. Yeah. So it's definitely improved for me, I think. Like, I think one thing I've always thought is that Banks were like excellent, but sometimes they miss the mark. But I can't think of one beer they've released, or maybe one or two, but like pretty much every beer they've released in the last year has hit the mark for me.
Yeah, and I think the stuff that they re-release is getting better too, like head retention, just overall aroma.
Yeah, that was a thing, that was the problem, yeah. And, like, I hate oat cream IPAs and all of that garbage, but I love Cake Eater. Like, that's an amazing beer.
Yeah, it's a very tasty beverage. I agree. No, I like that, and I like their lager too. Their lager game's strong.
Yeah, like Foam. Like, Foam is just an amazing beer, and that beer they did with the Carlin boys, that double Foam, like, I know it piss a lot of people off for the can, but that was like my favorite beer of the can. That was amazing.
Northern Foam. I actually want more of that.
Yeah, I know.
Very good, very good. If you're listening, Chris, which you are because you listen to all the episodes, we need more Northern Foam. Come on,
Northern Foam. Come on.
Yeah.
All right. This is my favorite category across the board. Breakthrough brewery. Like, who broke through? Who really stepped up? Who really just stepped up? Who took that next step? Who was in the conversation?
So who was in the...
Who was in the conversation in for Breakthrough? Yeah, contention.
Yeah. So we had... Who did we have this year? We had Sobra Mesa. We had 2 Rupees. We had Goodland. And we had Love Shack.
Oh, nice. Bit of love for Love Shack. They're very new too.
Yeah. They've just been doing a lot of, I guess, like really good pails and lagers and stuff. And, you know, just like... Just been hitting the mark. Like, it's just really approachable, delicious beer.
They've got a bit of a stomping ground connection, yeah? They've come from that.
Yeah, exactly. And they're kind of following that you know, big distro game in a way, and, you know, just making really, really good beer.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's excellent. All right, who have we got for runner-up for Breakthrough of the Year?
Yeah.
So, for runner-up, we have... Love Shack.
Very good, very good. Congratulations to the Love Shack crew. I'm very keen to try some of their grog now. I have one of their. Was it like a Carlin pack or something?
Yeah, I think so. I think they have been in that, yeah.
Like a Basil strawberry sour or something, maybe? I don't know. It was good.
Yeah, and one thing, like, a thing that's been interesting about Love Shack is, like, I've got mates that don't really drink a lot of craft beer, and then they'll show up to, like, an event with them, which is, you know, testament to how quickly they've stepped their game up and got these products out, you know, like, and, you know, non, like, you know, like, you know, I'm obviously a super nerdy craft beer person, but, like, you know, like, a lot of my mates that are fairly new to the game are out there and they're drinking it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's excellent. All right. This is, like, for me, this is one of the best ones. Like,
you're not going to win.
Brewery of the Year, you want this.
Yeah. So, agreed, man. Agreed.
Oh, Jesus. I'm getting really excited about the board here. I've got no Juice Wolf tonight. So, Victoria, Breakthrough Brewery of the Year, Dr. Andrew Faz, give it to us.
This year was honestly the easiest one ever. Sobra Mesa won it by landslide.
Yeah, we love that. Very good homies of our show. We love those guys. The Yeah, Casey coming on the show, timing barrel, just really blew us away. Such a passionate guy. I mean,
yeah.
What did the judges have to say about these guys?
It was, I would say it was almost unanimous for Sovereign Messer this year. Like, they got by far the most votes, and even people that aren't really into Farmhouse were, you know, talking about them. And for me personally, they released some of the best beers that I had this year, like Reflection, a few like Divergent Thinking. Some of those beers were just like amazing.
Dumpster Dives.
Yeah, Dumpster Diving, that I can't remember the name of it, but that the Brett IPA they just did, like, fuck, just so many good beers. Yeah,
they did the hop saison as well.
The Soulflower, yeah. It was just everything they've been, it's just amazing, man. Can't talk about them any more highly. Like, I think
Broken
the,
Time,
the table beer that they did as well, just everything is just fucking nailing it, man.
Yeah, I was so pleased to see their name there.
Like an old grumpy craft beer nerd like me, like they're just hitting my notes personally.
Yeah, no, I love that. That's fucking awesome. We're very stoked to see that there. Congrats to our Casey and the team. Very well deserved. One of the Silent Grove Assassins.
Yeah, like I guess we just hope that they can step up their production and like we can see more of them. And we just hope that everyone keeps supporting them because they're a gem of the Victorian craft beer community.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. After talking to Casey, I was super inspired and I was like, man, if I wasn't doing my own thing, I would be backing that guy. Someone needs to back him hard.
Yeah, I agree, man, for sure.
Yeah, and Hannah too, obviously. Sorry, I keep saying him. All right. Let's get into the big one. You're in Fiji. You're on holidays. Let's start talking Brewery of the Year. Who's in contention from Victoria? Because I mean,
from Victoria, because I mean, you've got so many heavy hitters.
Yeah, so that, I guess that's why, as we were kind of talking about before, we're really lucky in Victoria that we have so many fucking good breweries. So I'll just run through our list that we had as judges, and we had 6 nominees for Brewery of the Year, which I guess just shows, you know, how good it is here. So we had Hawkers, Deeds, Arsaren, Banks, Dollar Bill, and Hop Nation.
Fucking hell. Talk through a few of those, because they are all big hitters. They're all people who could win the national.
Exactly. Yeah. I guess I'll go through them one by one and kind of like, this was by far the one we struggled with the most. And I think everything else was pretty, like, we all agreed on. And this was the only one we really fought on. So Hop Nation, the judges were mostly just talking about Radenhund. But like realistically, like, you know, their core range is really good, and you know, they've got the stuff with site fermentation, and yeah, they're doing really cool stuff, and like their limited releases have been pretty good as well. Like the West Coast I've found have really good for me. Like some of their stuff doesn't quite hit the mark, like some of their hazies are like could be like a bit better, but like I think everything else that they're doing is pretty freaking good.
They had a really strong year, I thought.
Yeah, for sure they did. Yeah, like they're just an exceptional brewery. Yeah, so then obviously like Dollar Bill, like I feel like most people know a good amount about Dollar Bill now. Like, you know, they won that Aber Award with Gold Teeth, and for the people that were lucky enough to try it, they've all said how good it was. I wasn't actually able to get it. I think they're re-releasing it soon though. But, you know, like Penny Paint and Learning to Breathe and all of the other amazing beers they do, and they're just an amazing brewery, and just seeing the passion that Ed and Fee have is just freaking amazing.
If only their city would support them a bit more. Anyway.
Obviously Banks, like we spoke about them previously, but we know the quality that they pump out. Lasaren, I just go from strength to strength lately. Like that, you know, their barrel program is just getting bigger and bigger, and you know, they've started doing like proper lambic style beers, which for me have probably been the highlight of Victorian craft beer and like the last year. Like I don't think a lot of people have got to try it because it's been pretty limited, and I don't think the distro's quite been getting out there, but and you know, like the Bitter Cerise, which they just did with the lambic with cherries, was just like stupid good. Like that was, to me, it was like very akin to like a proper Belgian creek. So,
I had a bunch of their stuff. The the, you know, Spawn sort of stuff and those smaller bottles that have been coming out, and they were exceptional.
Yeah, and they've been doing like cool things, like they've been releasing like single barrels at like certain venues and stuff, so you can go to the venue and just like try like a single barrel like Wild Ale, which is really cool.
That's elite.
So I've had a cool good one of those at like Carwin and Beer Deluxe and a few other random venues.
No, I was going to say just elite, like again, elite brewer. Who else?
Exactly. Just dumb. And like, if you're into that kind of game, like they're really stepping it up to like that, you know, US level of just excellence, I think.
Very good. Very good. All right. Who else do we have?
So we had Deeds, which is an obvious one. I think, you know, like, you know, I think they featured heavily on your show before. Everyone knows what they bring to the game, you know, excellent beers around the clock. And, you know, for me, like, especially their barrel program the last year has just been dumb. Like, Into the Fray obviously is one that everyone knows, but like the Darker Motives and the Dark Motives, especially the Darker Motives, I think that was, I would probably say that was my favorite beer of the last year. The complexity in that beer was just fucking dumb.
So good.
Just dumb. Yeah.
And just like for me, the breadth of what they put out is just crazy. Like we had this discussion on show and with them that, you know, we said they weren't hitting as hard as they did in sort of 2019, 2020, but they put out lagers, they put out they put out mixed ferment, they put out insane barrel
beers.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that was something that we talked about as well, like, you know, that they brought out these Spawn beers, and obviously Ned's the one that's probably driving that because he's very passionate about it, but like everything's just been so good. Like a few of those Spawn beers that I had, I was really impressed, like the first releases, like it's exceptional stuff, and fruiting at like ridiculous rates, like 500 grams a liter, like so game. Well, like they're doing like Fontainen levels of stupidity.
Well, actually, on that, there is a special little 40-minute session with Netto going onto the Patreon exclusive where he talks about why they fruited so hard.
You better really join the Patreon, guys.
Mate, we'll get you in. We'll get you in. You're a judge now.
I can pay. I can probably
All right, and who we got left? Hawkers.
Yeah, Hawkers. So for me personally, that were my choice, and it was just for me, Hawkers have just like it's just so consistent. Everything they've done this year has just been stupid. Like people probably remember the Lucky Eight Pilsner that they did. That was probably one of my favorite beers of the year, and I know BG Underground really loved that beer. Like, you know, their barrel game as well, like similar to Deeds, has just been amazing, and all of their like, you know, bourbon barrel aged imperial stouts and Baltic porters and all the stuff they've been doing, and then, you know, even just putting out weird shit that has done really well, like, you know, pastry sours and stuff like that. It's not my personal cup of tea, but like a lot of the judges really like that stuff. But I guess like their hobby game for me is just like probably the best in Australia for me personally. Like I like their West Coast IPAs and their hop and their hazy IPAs are, like, for me personally, I think are better than what anyone else in Australia is doing. Like that, the Talus releases that they just did, like the hop expression that they got in that, like as a home brewer, I'm just like, how the fuck did you do that? Like, it's fucking amazing. Like this, the flavors that they pull from a single hop, like it's just crazy the stuff they do.
I was going to say that about the East West series. Like they did the Ruaka one, and that works.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. It was the East West Talus, and the Ruaka was the same. Like they just pull so much flavor from a single hop.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Actually, let me go on a tangent here for 1 second, because when we first started this conversation, I brought up Hawkers quite a lot because I think you look at the year they had and it was really, like, really fucking strong. Like some of the releases they put out, the consistency, you know, the Lucky Eight, the single hop stuff. I think their hazy game went from what I thought was pretty average, like talking freedom units and stuff, to really fucking good. Yeah, they had such a strong year. All right.
Yeah, they did. And I don't think they could have done any better. Like, I remember that beer they did with Fox Friday, the Interstate Transfusion, I think it was called. Yep, that was one of my favorite beers of the year. Like, just so much good beer.
All right. Well, let's just mellow everything down for 1 second here, because this is the big one. This is the Steppy Award. the 2021 Victorian Brewer of the Year. In the running for the National Award, Faz, who have we got?
Are we going to do runner-up or winner first?
Oh, shit, we should do a runner-up. I just killed your vibe.
I'm ahead of you, mate.
Right, let's do runner-up. Let's do runner-up. Let's give them the respect that deserves.
All right, so for runner-up, after all of this, you're probably going to be surprised, but the runner-up is Hawkers.
Well, look, they still get a wow.
Look, they should get a wow.
I'm not surprised. I don't think Hawkers would have been a popular choice amongst the judges, but I think they had a super strong year. I think they should be really
proud. I think also, like, it's kind of hard because they don't have a lot of distribution outside of Victoria. So, like, even in, like, certain parts of Victoria, some of the judges hadn't tried a lot of their beers, and I think it's just because they're not getting them into all of the areas.
That says a lot to Mars and them, because, yeah, we get a bit down here, but probably not everything.
Yeah, well, like, I know I've got a lot I'm originally from Sydney, so, like, a lot of my good mates complain about not getting their beers, and they do get them, but they're hard to get, you know. It's like trying to get Treehouse or something in Australia. Maybe not that hard, but, yeah.
Well, all right. Even though I fucked up the intro for you, I'm gonna redo it. So let's just reset the mood here, which, you know, I'm great at ruining a mood. Just ask my wife. But after much foreplay and many mistakes from myself, the Victorian Brewery of the Year is
Dollar Bill.
Absolutely huge. It's an impressive field to beat, too.
I assume that's a popular choice of you, Clint.
What's that?
I assume that's a popular choice.
Yeah, look, I'm super happy with that. I think, yeah, Fee and Ed, not only great humans and deserving, they had a really special year, I reckon.
Yeah, they did. Like, you can't, it was similar to Hawkers, and that was what we really came down to. Like, they both had exceptional years, but for me, Dollar Bill just pushed the mark, and they just released some stupidly good beers, and it's hard to go past them. Like, the stuff that they did, like those four different releases, were just amazing.
Yeah, exactly. They put in a hell of a lot of work this year just gone, and it really shows. And, like, at festivals, they're the center of attention. I know we're only just getting festivals back, but they're just so much fun.
I'm sure you remember Gabs in Melbourne, and, like, everyone was just lining up for their beers, and I feel like there were more people talking about them than anyone else, and that's pretty special.
Yeah, I agree, especially for, like, where they've come from. Being in this culture isn't always going to put you at the top of the pack.
It's weird beer, you know, like, it's not an IPA, it's not a lager, it's not a pale ale, you know, it's pretty special, different kind of stuff, and for them to be, you know, like, I've got mates that aren't really that into craft beer, and they've been buying their beer and really liking them too.
Yeah, that's
like the beer they just did with Carwin, the Red Letter one. Like, I've had a lot of people raving about that, and that was just a dumb beer. It was just excellent.
So good. Top of the game, really. I'm stoked about that. It's been so long since we had Ed and Fee on, and we do want to have them on again. So what better excuse? Ed and Fee, please come on. I know you're listening.
And they love a chat. They're good eggs.
They do love a chat. Speaking of having audio issues, but at least you're in Fiji. I've never had more audio issues than trying to explain to Fee how to use their computer.
Yeah.
Good
time. We got there.
All right. Andrew Faz on holiday in Fiji. Away from the family for us. Thank you so much for being a judge this year, for also stewarding the other judges and giving us this epic fucking list. Most improved, 2 Rupees, Hype, Bands or Banks Brewery, Breakthrough, Sobremesa, Brewery of the Year, Dollar Bill. Pretty strong.
Thanks for having me, man. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to seeing you argue about some nationals.
No, I'll see you at Gabs, bro.
Yeah, easy. I'll see you at Gabs.
Can't wait.
Definitely. All right. Thank you so much, sir. Have a great holiday.
you two, no, not you two. You won't have a good holiday because we won't be on holiday, but I will have a good holiday.
Who knows? I could be turning up at the bar
for you can tell volume. I've had cocktails tonight.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Faz. Thanks, man.
Good to see you, brother.
Bye. All right. We are back. This time, we're moving north. We're going up to the sunny state. We're going up to Queensland, where everyone in Australia wants to get right now to get away from COVID and see the sun. We've got one of, I want to say, the original earliest friends and homies of the show, Nick Bonner. Welcome. You're finally on.
Good evening, Papa Swedes.
Hey, mate. Good thanks, to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Now, the funny thing about you being on, actually, is Liam, aka Snorlax from BTU, was thrown under the bus because he got so pissed the night before the awards that he didn't rock up, and you guys all nominated him to come on the show, right?
Correct. Because he wasn't part of the conversation, so he didn't hear what we talked about, and here I am.
Shameful. And I know he will listen because he's very opinionated in the friends and homie chat. But shame on you, Snorlax. Too many barley wines for you, my boy. All right. I've looked at this Queensland list. I've just finished up Victoria with Andrew Faz, the doctor. I've looked at this Queensland list and it's pretty impressive. We're not going to go through so many of the nominations as such, but we're going to spend a bit of time on some of these winners because they are absolute crackers. So I don't think we should fuck around here. I think we should get straight into Queensland. And I think we should start with most improved brewery for Queensland 2021. Take it away, Nick. Who got it?
Haddock Brewing here on the Gold Coast. They are a very awesome, just original, true to style Belgian brewery. Run by a husband and wife couple that started basically a full production brewery in their garage in Pack Pines here on the GC. They've been pushing and pushing for years to get their own brewery. It opened at the end of last year. They are pumping out the goods. I've been down there. I know the owner, Annalise. They deliver true to style beers. That at first I would have thought they would not have appealed to the greater people, but they've in the last couple of weeks just released some new cans as well. They're getting some good distribution, so you can't really say much more than we built a brewery from the garage and
That's absolutely mental. So wait, they started in their garage, like quite literally in their garage.
Yeah. For 5 years, they didn't have a place to park their cars because they literally had a brewery in the garage. And I actually went before council, they found a loophole in liquor licensing, so they were able to operate as a bar for a couple of hours on a Friday afternoon.
That's epic.
Yeah. People complained, it got shut down, that didn't happen anymore. So they were only relying on online. They got some good distribution in some of the little independent shops around the coast here up in Brisbane. They've also taken out some really great awards as well. Their quad and I want to say took out a few awards in the IBAs last year.
Oh, wow.
And their triple as well.
Yeah, I was just quickly having a look at their Untapped and, yeah, a Belgium quad at 9.5% being served out of the Gold Coast, picking up a 4.04 on Untapped is reasonably impressive.
Yes.
I like that a lot. I have seen a lot of this popping up. I feel like every person I know that's up in Queensland will put up a little picture of it, like being served a proper like whippy boy head on a beer at Matic. So I'm super excited to get up there and check those guys out. Bloody well done to Matic Brewing. Most improved brewery for 2021 for Queensland. All right. I know this one was big chat slash controversial slash when we got to the national discussion, which we've all been having on the side as a huge, huge national panel of judges in the Friends and Homies group. This was a controversial again, but let's talk about the hype category of the year, because I know you've got sort of three players in this group. What went down there?
So look, we all know Range week after week delivers the haze, delivers the goods. Are they as popular as what they were 2 years ago? Probably not. Are they still delivering great beer? Yeah, they are.
Getting better and better too.
Correct. Have I had a shit beer? No. Have I had a drain pour? No. Will they happily admit and apologize and fix if they do have quality issues? Absolutely. We also had Bacchus Brewing, which I know for some of the interstate guys, and I've seen on Instagram in Victoria and New South Wales, they really crave their beers. They pump out very, very, very small batch. So again, it's a lot smaller than what Range does. They don't have the distribution that Range has. So I personally haven't had a lot from them. And I don't think they're like, I'm not crazy excited by their releases every however often they come out, but I know they're great quality beers.
Yeah.
And then I went and threw a little grenade into the pond and said, what about Bolter? What does everyone think about Bolter? And everyone kind of just stopped for a second and said, hey, yeah, that they had delivered 4 LE beers last year. And did everyone go crazy for them on pre-launch and pre-announcement? Absolutely. Everyone go crazy for them when they drop them into stores? Absolutely. Were they gone in a couple of weeks? Absolutely. And beside the point of, yes, they aren't indie, but I think we've all accepted that Bolter and the team have done what is great for indie beer without being indie themselves. So it allowed them to take that next step to produce the quality and get the distribution that they have now. And that's incredible. So I think it was actually late last year, and when you guys had Sterling on, and that little chat that kind of turned me to go, yeah, I accept what they are, and I'm not just going to throw them under the bus because they aren't indie anymore.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a turning point for all of us. Probably the last 12 months of Bolter was, I do predominantly buy indie beer, and bend the rules when I'm buying some maybe international pilsner. But if I see Bolter on tap and I'm at a venue that I would consider somewhere that doesn't have a great list, I'll buy Bolter, and I actually like having that option.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know that if it's a large brewery-owned tap list and you can see XPA, you're not going to have a disappointing beer.
Yeah, I think I don't think I said this when Sterling was on, because I don't want to pump up his tires too much because I'm in love with the boy. But I think Bolter post-sale is better than Bolter pre-sale. And I think that, it's nice actually to see them come up in here. Like we never have non-indies in these lists, but I think it's kind of deserving to have them in the conversation because this is about harnessing hype. And whether that's, I don't think it's because they have a big marketing budget. I think their distro is amazing. But I think, you get Sterling and he, handwrites his letters to, a whole bunch of people, and there's no expectation of you posting that beer or whatever. And, it's kind of obvious if you've received it, who's getting it, because it all starts getting posted around the same time, except in Tassie where it takes weeks to get here.
Takes an extra week, yeah.
Actually, no, I did get mine before some of the Queenslanders this month, so shout out to Bolter. But, yeah, I think what they've done, and the Cryo Mofo sort of series, that whole series where the cans all connected at the end, the big picture, yeah, it was fucking awesome. All right.
I'll mention what they're about to do with this Kiwi Hop as well.
Yeah, this whole New Zealand pills that just came out, and they just smashed 4 cans of it without even looking. I will say there was a little discussion that was had at a national level about Bacchus, and And I guess like a lot of what they're doing is like big dessert stuff. Also, though, I will say Tom, who's been on the show before, has told me a lot about their some of their sour stuff and the barrel stuff being really impressive. But I think Backers, in terms of hype, you know, certain people do get around Backers and get really around their bigger stouts and stuff. But we did have a couple of comments that overall the quality wasn't sort of there on the sort of level to win the whole Queensland award. So who did you guys end up giving the Hype Brewery to?
Hype Brewery for Queensland goes to Volta.
I love it. I'm about it. And just for you, Sterling. Same. Just for you, Sterling, I'm going to give you one of these. Because I know he loves it. I love it. And I like that you're here on the panel just making the calls. It's good. Well, yeah, we don't need to talk about Volta anymore. They've got enough love from us. What we do need to talk about, though, is my favorite award, which is Breakthrough Brewery of the Year. This is the one for me that if I one day win that, I will be beside myself. Brewery of the Year is a little too hard, but Breakthrough Brewery of the Year, that brewery who stepped onto the scene, made an impact, or they were on the scene already and took it to the next level. That's what we're working with here. I can see you guys have got an honourable mention here. So tell us a little bit about this honourable mention.
So we gave a very, very honourable mention to the crew of Working Title. So we've seen a lot more from Working Title. They were in Canvent last year as well.
What did they do in Canvent again?
The stout, the 12 Stouts of Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
My beer dealer did, yep.
Yeah,
they did a very exciting beer there. They have come out of nowhere, and they've already done a 3-can release this year that's getting some very good reviews. I've got them in my fridge myself. I'm yet to get my lips around them.
I've heard really good things.
Yeah. But the end of the conversation came down to the fact that they weren't kind of really their own brewery. They were a break off. So I want to say Mark and Luke from Newstead Brewing have broken off to do Working Title.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And in their blurb, they kind of say, this is us doing beers that we really want to do and we really love doing while the rest of it pays the bills for us.
Okay, that's kind of cool. I like that a lot.
Yep.
It's kind of clever to pull off a brand like that because they have been doing some different stuff. And I think, I mean, it doesn't count for 2021, but I think they were in the Gab Summer Pack and they did like a cookie dough white stout.
Yeah.
Which I was not my thing, but I was very surprised it tasted like a cookie dough beer. I was pretty impressed for what it was. Good to see them get an honorable mention. I think they're getting a lot of traction on that. I was actually just trying to quickly, subtly off to the side look, but I think, bear with me here. I think that they might have shot right up the list on Untappd for the brewery rankings. So bear with me here. I think they're in the top. Oh, they've just taken spot number 11. So, yeah, I mean.
So that's pretty good for Breakthrough, yeah?
Yeah, I'd say so. When you think about the top 10 being Mountain Culture, Wildflower, Bracket, Range, Black Arts, Black Font, Banks, Dollar Bill, One Drop, Spotty Dog Brewers, and Working Title followed by Fox Friday, that's, yeah, pretty impressive. All right, let's get the real shit underway, though, because we all want to know Queensland Breakthrough Brewery of the Year winner is
our guinea pig chugging Queensland local Karen and Easy Times.
He will be absolutely beside himself, I reckon. One of my absolute favourite humans in all of beer. And just before we get into talking about what kind of year they've had. We are going to get Curran on the show. He's going to be one of the 10 guests we get this year because, and not to pump up his tires, like I only met him through chugging Guinness cans, but he is really dedicated to his craft. And I've said it before, he's one of those guys I look to and think, you know, that's epic. That's next wave. Like he is so focused on getting better and better. Tell us a bit about what Easy Times did this year.
So Easy Times, they opened during COVID, like worst time ever to open a brewery, but they delivered. I know I knew Curran from Black Hops. So he started as a brewer at Black Hops. So he has learned a lot from the great Black Hops team of Toshi and Govs. But they have just delivered great beer. There are a great community. There's a really cool bar and a great location in Brisbane. They're just across the road from the Gabba. So obviously the idea was people go to the game, people go looking for a great beer, and there they are.
Gabba Draft. I've had all of them. Well,
maybe they not. They've also done great work for the community. So they hosted a really great flood relief raffle and fundraiser thing earlier this year for Queensland. So yeah,
I saw
hold on, guys.
Helping out the guys from who was it? Is it Two Mates Brewing who lost?
Two Mates in Northern New South Wales. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Lost everything and sort of donating kegs and all sorts of stuff. Like, yeah, I've been, you know, don't need to talk about him too much because, yeah, we love the kid. But I've been really impressed just with, like, yeah, dedication to his craft, putting out some, you know, interesting beers. We've had a bunch of them on the show that have been delicious, and I've been lusting over his table beer and his saison as well. Yeah, I just think he's one of those brewers who's going to go from strength to strength, and I just hope that the Easy Time owners back him in to do his thing because that's what they need to do. Yeah. Super stoked. That's a Steppy's family win, right, if there ever was one. All right. Brewery of the year. I've got the winner in front of me, but if I think breweries of the year for Queensland, you know, obviously the last few years have been weird years. But I think of, you know, I guess the heavy hitters. So I'm thinking, definitely thinking of Black Hops, who won last year, Currumbin Valley. Maybe quietest at the end of the year, but always going strong. Pastille was great. Moffat Beach doing really good things up there. There is a really strong scene. I mean, can't not bring up Larry, right? One of the greatest beers of our time. Shout out to McGarry. But who was in the conversation for you guys around Brewery of the Year?
Not really a lot, to be honest. Oh, it was pretty one-sided.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
we talked around a little bit because, and we agreed that some of those names that you've just mentioned hadn't really hit consistency.
Yep.
And it was a flow on from a brewery that we had nominated for improved as well.
Okay.
But when they kind of got pushed aside from most improved and we kind of push them to the top. So,
all right. Well, yeah. Well. Let me build up some suspense here. I love doing the desk when Wolf Boy's not here. 2021 Steppy Award winner and going in the running to win or contend for the national title of Brewery of the Year for Queensland is
Moffat Beach.
Very well done.
Congratulations.
Very well done to Moffat Beach. I have not had a single beer from these guys. Oh, actually, I lie. I've got four of their beers in the fridge.
I take that back now.
which were sent to us, but I haven't tried one yet. Tell us a bit about Moffat's year.
So I discovered them at the Gabs Summerfest they did in Queensland at beginning of 2021.
Yeah.
Where Queensland was kind of, Queensland and Tassie were the only states that could kind of do their own thing.
Do anything.
Yeah. So the head brewer did one of the brewer's talks, and I was handed a taster of the beer, and I thought, whoa, what is this? And at the time, I think it was Crazed, Hazed and Confused. And I was very, very impressed by a 6% something hazy. So much so I went back to the stand, had a chat to them further about the beers, then learned that they did My Sweet Precious of West Coasts, and they do them bitter, dank, and piney. That's what I want.
Yes, yes.
So Best Coast Trilogy took out a plethora of awards last year.
Yeah.
I
think they won a whole bunch of awards at like the AABAs as well.
Yeah, absolutely
killed it.
Yeah. And they just cleaned up for beginning of this year for the Queensland Food and Wine Show as well. They got some awards for some of their beers too. We did talk about how they have a particular flavor. So a lot of the IPAs that they do, they've just done a limited release girl. They called it, I'm not sure whether it was early this year or late last year, but it's kind of like, it's a West Coast style IPA, but a very similar flavor to the trilogy, they're pale, I had an opportunity to chat to one of their brewers recently, and they brew consistent beer. The flavor is great, the quality is great. I'm yet to get up to where they are, up on the Sunshine Coast. But they've done
a huge expansion in the last, I want to say like 18 months, 2 years as well, like really upping the game. And all I hear from people in the industry is how nice the people they are as well.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, I think we've come out with a really strong Queensland list. I mean, the big surprise for me is, well, it's not a surprise, but I'm excited to see it, is Matic up there. I think that there's some really cool things to come out of there. So most improved, we had Matic beer. Hype we gave to Bolter Brewing, unexpected but very welcome. Breakthrough, honorable mention to Working Title, but winner, Easy Times. Time for a big chug. And if you haven't jumped on the Easy Times Instagram, go check out Curran's wrestling video where he challenged Young Henrys and did a keg stand. It's very funny. And Brewery of the Year, winner for Queensland, going into the national contention, Moffat Beach. Nick, thank you so much for coming on, and thank you for being part of our judging panel. It's actually really nice to finally have you on after supporting us for so many years.
Thank you. So good. Thanks to producer Emma behind the scenes.
Oh, it is. I'm not going to lie.
Doing all the organizing.
All of the organizing. I haven't given her credit all episode. I'll have to do that when I stitch this all together at some stage. But thank you for coming on. Queensland done. Victoria done. Western Australia next. There's going to be some big contentious discussions once we start getting into these national chats, especially when you think of breakthroughs. So just recapping my favorite award, so I'm going to talk about it. We've got Easy Times and Sobra Mesa in our breakthroughs so far for nationals. And Brewery of the Year so far, we have Dollar Bill going up against Moffat Beach. It's going to be a very, very horny time. Nick, thank you for being on. Absolute pleasure. Friend and homie of the show. We love to see it. And
Papa Worldwide, Papa Sweden,
Papa ASAP.
Papa Korea.
Papa Korea. Oh, see, this is how long this guy goes back. Mate, no, absolute pleasure. Absolute pleasure. All right. Let me get into the next state. Goodbye, my friend. We are back. Victoria done. Queensland done. How good was Nick Bonner? Seriously. Quite liking that man. I want to get around him for a few frothies. We've done Victoria. We've done the big boy. We've done Queensland. Really excited about some of the results there. Loving seeing Nick take the reins for the judging panel. Loving him giving some shit to Snorlax. But now we must head to WA. And, I mean, you might think to yourself, who to tell the story of WA? Surely it would be Guy Southern. But what if there was one better? What if we had the ambassador of WA himself? He's been on the show before. Welcome back, Rob Stew.
How's it going, Clint?
Mate, really good, really good. And great to have you back because, I mean, you are WA's ambassador, so who else to...
I think I might have eclipsed Benny as the most frequently heard guest on this show now.
Yeah, I think you might be right, actually. You've done well. You've been here for the test of time. I was just saying to Nick, who was on, Nick Bonner, who was on before, he is one of the OG friends and homies, but you are the OG, the first. So, mate, always good to have you on. And, you know, I know that the judging panel you run over there is a tight bloody ship, and I've had a look at these notes, and I'm a little bit excited. How's the WA beer scene been in the last 12 months? Well, particularly 2021.
I think probably everyone's been saying the same thing. Like, you know, last couple of years have been a bit shit. It's been a lot of I'd say reflection from a lot of breweries, and I think that's kind of come out in the awards today. I think a lot of them have been sort of thinking about what they do and why they do it and how they look and really sort of, I think, yeah, 2021's been a real thoughtful year for WA brewers, I think.
Yeah, definitely all that time of, well, I mean, I guess not so much for WA or Tassie. Like, we didn't have the same sort of harsh lockdowns as some other states, but definitely I think gives everyone a sort of chance to sit back and assess and maybe think about how you do things going forward. And actually, to be honest, what I've seen from coming out of WA is a lot of hypey stuff. A lot of you'll know more about this. And I tried to say what it was on the last episode, but there was some beer called Never Crispy, maybe.
Yep.
And I think there might
that's
be
the one.
There might be
from
a cat.
Cheeky Monkey. Yeah.
It was Cheeky Monkey, was it?
Cheeky Monkey, it was indeed.
Yeah, throwing out some hype. And there's a gentleman at some bottle shop who is it Simon? Who was a bit of a
Simon Ty. Simon Ty. Yeah, that's the one.
Right,
he loves his chonk.
Mate, he seems like a bit of a chonky cult hero. Love chucking
out. If you can see through it, he doesn't like it.
Oh, that makes it, that's even more meta, actually. I like that a lot because he loves chucking out a self-meme as well. That's, we might have to chat to him at some stage. It's very funny stuff. If you don't know what it is, it's because you're not in Perth beer drinkers because your tolerance for the stupidity that sometimes comes across in there. Is not high enough, but you know, that's okay.
No,
it's all good. We love WA. Now, let us kick off with most improved, which this category for me in WA, I think there's been some heavy hitters out of WA in recent years. And considering the distro doesn't get across, the scene still hits really hard. So who was in the conversation amongst the panel for most improved?
So most improved, we had two. So I should say the panel for WA is myself and Guy Southern, who most people will know from Crafty Pint and the like. And
yep.
If you're on the Instagrams, good times. Craft beer is where Guy's at.
Yeah.
And then we had Gareth on there as well, Gareth Shackleton. So
love Gareth.
Both Guy and myself put up Cheeky Monkey. And Gareth put up Innate. I'll talk about Innate first. So Innate had an interesting year. They kind of they're a venue. I think we actually had them up for Breakthrough last year.
Yeah, I think we did. I think we did.
And they were a production-only brewery. They're starting to get a bit of volume, and they went and outsourced some of that,
which
might
have worked out a bit for him. I think someone might have done him over a little bit, quality department. But their smaller release stuff, which they were still doing in-house, was still really good. And they were getting noticed quite well, and they were starting to get a bit of exposure out in the eastern seaboard. So they were doing good things. But Cheeky Monkey had a really interesting year. So they, in 2020, they started bringing out what was the Surf Break series, and then released their East Coast IPA, which was their hazy, and what they were using to try and take on Biggie.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
And during the year, they had a pretty big rebrand. So they really shook up the whole ethos behind the company, really. So they, I think for a while they were trying to be like a brewery for everyone, and they're trying to cater for people just getting into craft and pretty staunch craft beer supporters as well. Their branding looked like that as well. It was all a bit confused and a bit muted and didn't really stand out. And they worked with Zendoke, who do a heap of the branding for WA breweries. Like, they're behind all the Nail stuff and Margaret River Brew House and a lot of other guys. And also worked with Pesh, who are the guys behind, he does a lot of the Feral stuff, I think it is. So they worked together on a complete rebrand, and from internally they went, well, we actually want to focus more on the craft beer consumer and refocus all their energy on that. So they came out with sort of a revitalized core range, and then like really turned up the Surf Break series. So started producing like quite a few much higher percentage Haze Boys. And then towards the end of the year, hit the Pastry Sours pretty hard. And
I saw a bit of that, yeah.
Yeah, so Never Crispy, which was a blueberry and something or other pancake. I can't remember what it was, but it was nuts. And around Christmas time, they brought out a Portuguese, Portuguese egg tart with mango, which was like so thick. It was literally dry, like drinking mango puree. It was something that we haven't seen before over in WA, or from a WA brewery. So
definitely.
Yeah, really. And everything else they've just taken like up a notch pretty much. So
I think
ultimately...
I think seeing that rebrand and I think something that gets overlooked when people rebrand is they just think about the graphics and they think about the look. They don't think about like what's our niche, what are we here for, like what are we doing. Like, I think that's a really important thing to hear out of that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think a lot of their branding from their previous rebrand. And I think that was only like 18, 24 months ago. Like, it wasn't...
They joked about it, didn't they?
And it was just very safe, And when they did this rebrand, they pulled the piss out of themselves. Like, they basically just went, look, we weren't true to ourselves. We didn't hit it right. Like, I know we've only just done this, but here we go again. And I think it's hit the mark a lot better. It stands out on shelf. And just what they're producing and what they're putting out, I think, is much more to what they want to be, which is, a heavy hitter in the WA craft beer scene.
Definitely. Oh, well, let's dive into the obvious thing and give out the WA Most Improved Brewery of the Year goes to... Yeah, they had a. I'm not even going to finish that sound there because they had a big year. They hit hard in the was it in the ABAs as well? Like they won a heap of awards there and
yeah, they got a heap of awards there and I think all credit to them. Like, I think they really owned the I think they owned the failed rebrand. and they turned it into a massive positive, I think. So
yeah, I'm excited to see what they do like next, like being unshackled almost, like having a successful year and you know, maybe some of the hypier stuff that, you know, maybe we're not into or our listeners aren't into, or they are into, I don't care how you get your kicks. But seeing them do that kind of stuff, that sort of one droppy, what did Ali say yesterday? Umnipulu. He tried to pronounce it.
Umnipulu.
Yeah. So he'd been watching some craft beer channel. You know, seeing them kind of own that and like lean into some of that stuff and just push themselves, I think that's what we want to see. And like, you know, most improved, that's not a slap in the face. Like most improved for us is like, you know, you're already doing good things and you stepped it up. So congratulations.
Yeah, and that's the thing that really stepped it up. So, and yeah, like we're hoping to see big things. I mean, they've just released their next pastry sour beer and it's got, you know, $400 worth of custom made chocolate cupcakes. So look, that's the kind of shit that we're here for.
Like, I did see someone post about that and I got a lot of vibes of Angry Chair in the States. And
I thought,
oh, they might be trying to hit up that. And, you know, look, and just because I'm not going to, well, I'll probably try it, but I'm not going to seek it out, doesn't mean that they shouldn't do it. Like, you know, each to their own per se.
Well, that's, and that's it. Like, I think they just lean into that shit and that's awesome.
Yeah, look, I'm excited to see what they're doing. It's very good. Let's talk a little bit about Hype Brewery of the Year for WA. Who was jumping out in this category?
So we had Cheeky again, mainly because, they branching out into the pastry sour. They were, you know, the Surf Break series again, which I think we might have touched on it last year. And for those who aren't aware, they started looking pretty heavily into different ways of making that East Coast New England style IPA and releasing a lot of different beers based on or named after surf breaks in the Margaret River region. And each one they were just trying something a little bit different, and it was like quite a cool iterative approach. And now they're all kind of like topping out in the 10%. Like super chonk kind of range, which, you know, it's good for one, not good for a four pack.
Well, we had a few of these that, you know, you've sent us hundreds of beers and we've had a few of the Cheeky Monkeys over the year. And I will say, actually, I probably should have brought this up in the last category, that some of the early stuff they sent, you know, I was like, yeah, that's pretty tasty. And you know, some of the cans are like sit in the fridge for too long, and then, you know, poured them out and they'd sort of, you know, everything, all the haze had dropped out and it's like big, you know, little chunks of yeast in the bottom. I was like, yeah, it's not super cool. But then, you know, the more recent Cheeky Monkey stuff I've tried, like I think maybe, was there a Strata IPA that came out?
Yeah, they did.
And I was just like, I remember having it at Young Weggie's engagement party. I was like, get a load of this fruit salad. Like, really interesting technique, and it wasn't as chonky, wasn't a big chonky donkey, but it was banging. It's good to see that experimentation.
They've been doing some cool things. Other side, I think, you know, perennial kind of in this category, but I think, you know, this year they might have, I think in that COVID year 2020, they were like hitting shit out of the park, and like every week pretty much they were dropping two releases, and they kind of like pulled back. But what they did last year was really thoughtful, and they were hitting all of those kind of hype styles.
Yeah, very focused.
Yeah. And then I mean, when you talk hype in WA, it's pretty hard to go past Rocky Ridge.
Ooh, I got a little pack from Rocky Ridge today. I think today.
It's been Oh, did you?
Awesome. Yeah, a couple of barley ones.
I think it's pretty. Oh, did you get the? Sorry, we're off topic. The 24-hour boil one.
Yes, I did. I did indeed. Someone there knows me very well.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking awesome. that beer, that's nuts. But that was released last. But I mean, last year they had the Excessive Adjuncts, the stout. Yes. Made designed by Ricky, Their chief sales, well, his chief everything, Ricky.
We love Ricky.
Which was just freaking nuts. I mean, they had all of the issues with Rock Juice version 8.
That was a big thing.
Bomb, yeah. Mm. And that really blew up. And then all of the shit that kind of came after that. And, you know, for any of the listeners who like sitting around in Perth beer snobs, they would have seen all of the... everyone could taste everything in every beer that came out of the brewery for the next sort of like 3 or 4 months.
Yeah. I thought they recovered.
I do know. Really well. Yeah, no, and that's it. They did. I think they owned that batch of Rock Juice quite, you know, they knew it wasn't, right for everyone. And they said, you know, look, this is what we're experimenting with. We're going to rebrew it, and they did. And, you know, 8.5 was back to awesomeness, so that was really cool.
Yeah.
They had their the Man series, so Dayman, Nightman, and Starman that all came out. I think Dayman had already been around, but the Nightman and the Starman came out, and they were awesome beers, single hop, hazy IPAs, really cool, and they got a lot of hype around them. They had some of the mixed firm stuff starting to trickle out as well. So they're just really like hitting all of those things. And what they were doing really cool was like different formats for different types of releases, which I really enjoy. So sort of those
tall bottles that they put out.
Yeah, the tall, they had 750ml bottles come out. They had big tall boy cans come out for some of the smaller run, more specialized releases. And then the 375ml cans for sort of higher volume specialist releases. So they were sort of playing all over the place, which we thought was really, really cool. We had a bit of a late entrance or entry to it, which was from Blaster. Blaster, you know, after being breakthrough last year, they come out with some like absolutely cracking beers that really, again, like sort of those, some of the hyper styles, but they don't run the hype themselves.
They're a little bit more quiet in that regard.
Yeah, and I know, talking to Mike, once or twice throughout the year, Mike Morgan, who's the sales lead for those guys, and they were doing a fair bit in expansion over to the East Coast as well. So I think Steve and one of their brewers spent a bit of time over in Queensland, and they've been trying to hit that market up.
Pretty prevalent online over in Queensland, that's for sure.
So that was kind of the discussion we had around Hythe, and I don't know if you got a sting you need to play, or we just go straight
I love to do the desk when I'm allowed to. No, who was the hype brewer of the year?
The hype brewer for WA for 21 was Rocky Ridge.
Yeah, great. Did they win it last year as well?
Yeah, they did. Yes, they did indeed. Yeah.
Double whale.
Back to back.
Well, look, Ricky will be stoked at least. So I don't know if Hamish will return our calls after 2 years of giving him the hype brew. Who knows? There are more categories still, Hamish. Don't hate on us yet. I absolutely love the crew there. And, yeah, I think it's exciting to see. I think WA has, like you said, it does have a few people that are starting to tap in. And do you know what? I think Innate had a really strong start to the year in that category. And they were brewing some stuff that was getting me excited, but I felt like they dropped away a little bit. Did they do the Carlin beer? They did the Festivus for the triple, no, quadruple hazy in the Carlin pack, maybe in the can.
Well, I'm not 100% sure. Yeah, I don't subscribe to the advent.
Yeah, I think they might have done that one. That was a little stressful one when they sent it across to Vic, that was a bit tricky. Nah, well done to the team at Rocky Ridge. Let's get into breakthrough, my favorite category, because I think maybe you guys have my favorite result for the Nationals in general. So,
fair enough.
I've got some notes here, and yeah. You know, the Steppy Awards is all about. You know, we do what we want because this is our fucking awards. No one wants an AIBA. No one wants a. I don't even know what the other one's called. That's how average it is. But here I have the headline: breakthrough quotation marks bubblers. So tell me a bit about the breakthrough bubblers.
So I guess, and even when I was thinking about who to put up for this. I really struggled this year because I think when we think about Breakthrough Brewery, it's the one for us that's taken like that big step forward and has really put themselves out there. Yeah. And I think last year we might have like fucked ourselves over. Or, I don't know, well, maybe Wild Hop fucked us over because they really did like Breakthrough. They went from, you know, relative obscurity to being the number one destination that everyone talked about in the Southwest. Like if anyone said, where are you going to go? What are you going to do? It was Wild Hop. And that's all anyone was talking about.
Yeah. And that logo they've got, it's everywhere.
Yeah. It's awesome. And it just works. And we didn't really have anyone who just like rose up above the pack this year. We had a few breweries who got a mention. So we had Fat Brew Club, who are a gypsy brewer. PH Fat.
For us 80s kids.
And they, they've been doing some cool little things. I think they, the guys behind it, might have won like a homebrew comp through Margaret River Brew House.
Yeah, cool.
A couple of years ago. And that kind of gave them the impetus to, you know, like step it up and turn pro. It's cool. it's a few friends together doing it. You know, for me, they had two beers in the hottest new beers in the Hottest 100.
That's
which is kind of what tipped them over for me. Yeah, and that's really what put them up for me. A guy put up Seasonal, and Seasonal are a really interesting, like they've got some, I have to say, like beautiful branding.
I love that.
They've got a really nice venue in the Maylands kind of area, which is sort of the inner eastern suburbs of Perth. You know, doing really, again, like really thoughtful things, good kind of brew pub kind of stuff. And they're just, you know, they're just on that cusp.
They brew black IPAs.
Like one or two beers.
Maybe if they calm down on the black IPA,
they do. It's a good black IPA. They're doing black IPAs and cold IPAs, and
it's getting us offside.
Some nice little table beers and those kinds of things as well. So they're just, and they did a killer riff with Starwood whiskey barrels.
Oh, hello! Yeah, nice.
Yeah. As well, so they just haven't crossed that line yet. And there were a few other, you know, Margaret River we had in there as well, and a few others, but ultimately we just felt that, you know, there's lots of breweries who are right there and are sort of but just haven't filled in like all the pieces yet to really be like complete breakthrough.
And that's what I was saying. I really respect that because, you know, we had, I think I've said this before on EP just before, I think it was South Australia last year where we didn't give out. It was either a breakthrough or most improved because I didn't feel like there was anyone who lifted. And yeah, you know, that's what this is about. And I think the Breakthrough Bubbler is having this little, this list of guys who are sort of guys and girls who are just bubbling up, but not quite there. 100% respect that. Love it. Love it.
Yeah. And there's probably, you know, half a dozen other breweries who would fit into that category. You know, if you know, some of the new bigger venues down south like Shelter and, you know, you've got the guys up north like Froth who are, you know, have got their brewery up in Exmouth and about to open another one down in Bunbury. And, you know, a few guys who are, you know, just on that cusp, I think, of doing great things. So I think this year, especially the later half of this year, I think it's going to be a really interesting year for WA Brewers.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Hoping that, the, you know, impending joining the rest of the nation and WA not being a separate state doesn't slow things too much down for brewers over there. But, you know, you'll be right.
Well, yeah, I think, it might give people an opportunity to go out and try a few different things.
Exactly.
And actually see how other people do things as well, which might be good for the industry. I was interested to see it was the first thing Rocky Ridge did as soon as the borders opened, where they were on a plane over to New South Wales for Mountain Culture for their their Rausch Fest.
And
brew beer. And
have I heard some stories from young Ricky on Rausch Fest?
Oh, really?
I think I might need a whole episode for that. You need to hit him up for that information. It was a very, very rowdy time. Shout out to Steph from Crime also. She'll know what that means. When we get into this next category for Brewery of the Year, now,
yes,
I know what it is because I've got it written down here, which is very exciting. But do you want to talk about who else could be in tension for this? Because I think the winner is very strong, and I just want to hear if anyone else was tapping on the door.
It's all kind of the same people we've spoken about already.
I thought as this much. Evening, yeah.
Actually, so yeah. So we had a Nate in there as well, you know, up for contention, and you know, like I think they have done some good things, but yeah, just not quite there at this stage. Cheeky Monkey as well. Like I really think, you know, like last year was a really big year for them. And they just, you know, the quality of everything they were producing was just excellent. They didn't really have any misses. They had a couple of things where I think the only beer that people didn't quite like was they had one beer where the branding didn't kind of match with what was in the tin.
Doesn't say what it does on the tin. Doesn't do what it does on tin.
Yeah, it was like a tropical, like a fruit salad kind of thing. But it was only a pale, and everyone thought it was going to be like some big massive IPA, and that got a lot of shit reviews. I think based on people not reading what was written on the fucking can in the first place. But that, you know, never mind.
That's like if you name a beer in 2015, California Haze. After going to California, and then everyone starts releasing fucking opaque beers. I'm not as bitter as my West Coast, but look for the rebrand soon. Do what you say on the tin, otherwise you will get ripped. Yep. You will get ripped. Yep.
Pretty much. go for it.
I was just going to say, looking across at you guys and, you know, the beers that you sent across to us, very strong scene. Very strong scene.
I think we forget how blessed we are sometimes.
I think people need to reach into the wallet next time they're thinking about doing an order, you know, on the Eastern Seaboard, and look across, because there are some cracking things, you know. Yeah. You know, Rocky Ridge, Cheeky Monkey apparently as well. You know, mm-hmm. I've had some absolute crackers from the West.
So I don't know. I guess we just go straight into
Year. Let's get real deep here. I love to build this up. So the Steppy Award for 2021 WA Brewery of the Year, going to contention nationally, is
Other Side.
My boy Reese from Other Side. I said this before because we've talked about some beautiful people in this industry, but I think one of the most interesting articulate brewers we've had on this show, we've had a couple. Oh, how was Other Side's year? What got them to this point?
I think it was just quality of everything they put out. They brought out a new hazy in their core range, which was their Cloudburst, and that was selling out as quick as they could make it when it was first released.
They built some good hype for that too. Like, their marketing was on point.
It's beautiful beer, and it's 6-odd%. I think when it was released, it was sub 20 a 4-pack.
That's sharp.
Freaking nuts.
That's really sharp.
It was ridiculous. They had another couple of really good releases this year. They put out a couple of really good collabs with bottle shops. So with the Grain Crew guys.
Oh yeah.
They put out a beer where they were and the name of it escaped me, which is a pain in the ass because it was actually done to help raise funds for people suffering from mental illness and stuff, because a local guy within the scene passed away during the year, the guys from Grain Crew and the guys from Other Side came together to produce this beer. I think it's called Happy Place. To raise some money for awareness around like mental health issues, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, that's epic.
And to support artists and stuff. And they did an awesome beer with Maine, which was called Liquid Noise, which was over 10% big IPA. But pulling much more of your West Coast kind of vibes, which was awesome. Mm. They had their some of those interesting wood beers, so that cedar barley wine that came later.
He knows wood.
So, and everything he produces is just awesome. So, that's really why Other Side got the nod. It's just, for what they produce and the volume that they produce and the quality that they make is just,
quality,
really second to none.
Quality for me is a big thing that I think, Reese coming from that sort of Gage Rhodes background, which maybe in the Uber beer nerd scene would normally, not be a tick or something. He brings that quality to the table. Yeah, I'll just pause there because I think we got the echo gone.
Yeah, all good.
All right, hold on. We'll just do a mini pause and I'll cut that. All right, ready? Yeah, and I think coming from that Gage Road background that maybe to an Uber beer nerd isn't like, a big tick to start with, but he brings that quality. And like when you hear, go back and listen to the episode of Other Side. When you hear his focus and how he came up through the scene and what was going on at Gage Roads when he started, there was maybe a big infection or something and everyone was very focused on quality and cleanliness. It's just a cool story I'm super stoked for him to win. It's I think that's a really good contender nationally.
All respect for Reese. And a lot of those guys who have come through the Gage Roads sort of pathway. Yeah, like that focus quality and making sure that what you're producing is of the highest quality when it goes into the can. I think that's done so many of them well.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, WA putting up a bloody strong list. Most improved goes to Cheeky Monkey, Hype Brewer of the Year, Rocky Ridge, Breakthrough Bubblers, a whole raft of options, but no one taking the Breakthrough Crown this year. Looking forward to that next year. And Brewery of the Year, Reese, our good friend and homie, at other side, taking it out with his team. Ooh, we got some good national contenders up in here. I think, I definitely think there's some really solid players. Rob Stew, always good to have you on. Ambassador of WA, our OG, one of the first supporters of the Steppies from way back when. An absolute pleasure, mate. Thank you.
Yeah, pleasure, Clint. Thanks for having us, mate.
And yeah, thank you as always for stewarding our WA judges. If you're listening and you've just spent the arvo in Perth beer snobs complaining about the piney taste of an IPA, and you want to be on the panel next year, well, maybe get in touch and get around us. Well, that is it for the first part of the regional Steppy Awards. We've got some absolute fucking crackers going up for the Nationals. So most improved, we have Cheeky Monkey, Matic Beer, and 2 Rupees. Hype. Who harnessed the hype? Rocky Ridge, Bolter Brewing, and Barnes/Banks Brewery. No, they're just Banks Brewery. Let's not do that to Chris. Sorry, Chris. I apologize. Congratulations to those guys. Breakthrough, WA. We have no one. We have the Breakthrough Bubblers, which we won't speak about because they have not won the award. Honourable mention of Working Title, winner, Easy Times, Curran. Didn't need to do that, I don't think. And Breakthrough Brewery of the Year for Victoria, Sombremessa, which, very horny about that. Breweries of the Year going up to the Nationals, other side from WA, Moffat Beach Brewing Co. from Queensland, and Dollar Bill from Victoria. So, I mean, what else do you want me to say? I'm very impressed with those lists. I'm very impressed with our judges tonight. I think all of them were incredibly articulate and I didn't have to pay them a cent. So, very impressed with you guys. Thank you to Rob Stew, Nick Bonner, and Dr. Andrew Faz. This has been your Steppy Award Regionals, and despite the fact that I'm sitting here alone without my co-host and without Weggy, I come from a place of hope, wonder, and disbelief at how well some of these breweries have done during such trying times. So until next episode, where I will give you South Australia, New South Wales, and my home state of Tasmania, I bid you farewell. I ask you to get my wife's name out of your fucking mouth. And I look forward to giving out the Steppy Award for Most Improved, Hype Brewer, Breakthrough Brewery, and Brewery of the Year for 2021. Goodbye. Motherfucker.